You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde.
I'm Marcy Silman. The total cost of a college degree at the University of Washington, a public school, for in-state students is about $50,000. If you're from out of state, that price tag jumps to a whopping $127,000 on average. But our guest today thinks she could make a degree that costs $10,000 total. How, you might ask? Well, higher education writer Anya Kamenetz says there's a lot of fat we can trim off the higher ed system. Anya's a fellow with the New American Foundation, writes about education. And hello, welcome to our show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's start off first. How would you make a $10,000 degree?
Well, I wouldn't exactly describe it as trimming off fat. The plan that I lay out in the $1 trillion and Rising report is a pretty radical reorganization of public resources to try to achieve something that was thought of as a civil right back in the 1970s, which is a public education bachelor's degree for a price that an individual can afford by working a minimum wage job. And in order to do that, what I really am advocating is getting rid of everything that is not essential to the education process. And that means we're going to let go of the idea that people are going to have a residential experience. We're not going to bother with sports. We're not going to worry about extracurriculars. We're not going to operate fancy dining halls or gyms. And we're really going to redirect the resources, the limited resources for public institutions, into making sure that students have the support that they need to succeed academically.
Another thing that you have advocated is to reorganize some of the majors and either group things together, or I don't know if elimination is on the plate right now. But how in doing something like that, how do you maintain academic rigor?
Well, I think that, you know, diversity and disciplinarity is very important to academics, but you know, most people in the United States take a handful of undergraduate majors, the most important, the most popular ones being things like computer science, healthcare, in some cases English. But, you know, there's a very long tail of very small departments and degree programs across the country. And what a lot of people are starting to say is there a way to combine resources to avoid duplicating efforts, to allow there to be, you know, adequate research going on in every single one of these small areas without having to reinvent the wheel in every single one of the 4,000 colleges and universities across the country.
So you're not advocating the end of things like romance languages or the creative writing programs, if that's what people want to study?
No, I think that there should be absolute freedom of choice, but, you know, the problem is that the public university can't be all things to all people. You know, you've got to figure out a way of distributing resources so that the most the majors that, you know, help people succeed in the job market as well as help people continue to study things that are important to them continue. I mean, I think that the situation that really does not serve people today is the idea that they're going to go into tens of thousands of dollars of debt to get an MFA in creative writing, for example. You know, I think that that's a case of sort of over-promising and under-delivering for too many kids.
I'm talking with analyst and education writer Anya Kamenetz. And one thing that you have written about favorably is a system that used to be in place and I think still or maybe is reemerging in California, which is a sort of tiered system of public institutions of higher education. Can you explain in your vision how that might work?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much every public system in the country follows what was laid out as the master plan in the 1960s in California. And what that basically means is that we have flagship institutions that get most of the resources, do most of the research. We have mid-level state colleges, many of which are upgraded from being normal schools or teaching colleges, and then we have community colleges. And I would advocate a somewhat different reorganization. I think that the colleges that are housing the most students today, you know, half of all undergraduates start out at community colleges. And that's really where our funding and our resources need to be going, because we need to help those students succeed. They're the ones who need the most resources. And conversely, I think the flagship institutions, you know, I think it's important for them to continue their role as conducting research and having, you know, tenure track faculty and all of those things. But are there ways for the work that is done at those flagships to be disseminated more broadly? And I'm thinking of things like the MOOC platforms, you know, the massive open online courses. Can we redefine the role of these flagships as being creating educational materials and courses that can be then disseminated out across the whole system.
A lot of people grow up, I know I did, with their parents telling them college is going to be the best 4 years of your life. But a lot of what you're talking about, especially when you talk about trimming out the non-academic essential, the non-essential, non-academic parts, I think I've got the right nons in there, that you're talking about making a significant change in what we think of as four-year college experience, aren't you?
I'm really talking about adjusting the resources that we have to the reality, which is that more and more students today are working adults. They are, have responsibilities of their own. This is why online programs are becoming so popular. And the idea here is that, you know, right now, again, the community colleges that educate a very large proportion of the students have far fewer resources. And how can we equalize resources across the system so that people get the kinds of access to the kinds of programs that they need and that they find most useful?
Some of your critics have said that what you're calling for is essentially a McDonaldization of higher education. How do you respond to that?
I think what's really causing the cheapening of higher education is the current business as usual, because what we've seen as a trend over the last 30 years is that more and more of our classes are being taught by part-time, temporary adjuncts. These are not really living wage jobs in a lot of cases, that for-profits are taking a larger and larger proportion of the students because community colleges are so underfunded that they're shutting students out. And so what I would really like to advocate for is, I think if you want to increase funding for public education, which I certainly think is a good idea, you have to make a really strong case that you're using that money as efficiently as possible and that you're using it for the people that need it the most.
I'm talking with Anya Kamenetz, who has a plan, or at least a proposal, for a $10,000 total college degree. What gets lost in all this reorganization?
Well, I think that one of the most beautiful aspects of the American higher education system is its diversity. We do have the privates, the publics, the nonprofits, the small schools, the big schools, and I don't think any of that should go away. But, when you talk about a public institution and what is, again, a state's responsibility to its citizens, maybe we need to simplify a little bit, and maybe we need to cut out a little bit of the middleman. I think a lot of what's happened here is that a lot of the higher-level state universities have gone into the business of competing with private institutions. And so that's where you get sort of the upgrading, the very large science centers, and they're hiring rock star faculty, paying them rock star wages. Public university presidents are earning so much money. In all 50 states, the highest paid public employee is either a football coach or a university president. And that's just a marker of the fact that I think, our public institutions have really lost their way in terms of priorities.
Anya Kamenetz is a higher education writer, the author of DIYU, Edupunks, Edupreneurs, and the Coming Transformation of Higher Education. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having us.
It's The Record on KUOW with David Hyde. I'm Marcy Silman. Stay with us.